And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Hi there, everybody. I hope you're up and awake. And welcome to The View from Here, from Over Here. The View from Over Here, and we are on crntalk.com. Don't forget, crntalk.com. Today we have an interesting guest, Judy Barton, and she has so many facets to her career. We will have to find out which she wants to talk about when we introduce her later on. And we also have Jerry and Jeff, who are going to talk about some interesting movies that they've seen. And here we are today. Malcolm, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Malcolm, I think we need a larger studio.
We do. I'll have to talk to Paul. Can you get us a larger studio? Okay.
When? Okay, there are some things I'd like to talk about today. We have some things that have been happening in the news. Most people don't care. They don't interest them. They don't look. They look only at the things that seem to make the biggest headlines. So I like to pick out things that don't make the major headlines. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke about bitcoins. Most people never heard of bitcoins, and they have no clue as to what they are. And then the following week, it was the cover story for Time Magazine that week. Who would think? We beat Time Magazine on a little story that nobody ever heard of. Anyway, bitcoins are, I guess you might say, it's the digital currency that is the currency favored by people that are looking to escape the long arm of the law, to avoid taxation, etc., etc. But what is happening now is that these bitcoin companies seem to be filing for bankruptcy. Now, are they really filing for bankruptcy, or has the government forced them out of business? Has the government made a deal with them? You go out of business and we don't put you in jail. Who knows? Because out of the potential of 21 million in bitcoins that I understand are possible to get out there, only 12 million are in existence, yet the companies are going bankrupt.
I still don't know what bitcoins are. I am totally confused. We'll have to do a show just on bitcoins.
Just on that. And we'll invite some of these people on who are being put out of business by the government and see what they have to say about it. Now, this is really a good one. And when I saw this, I couldn't believe it. We have some communities in different areas where they are taking jails, okay, and they're turning them into boutique or chic hotels where you spend up to $400 a night. This is happening with jails and with prisons, not only here in America, but across the planet. And some of these were actually used as jails during World War II for political prisoners, prisoners of war.
So they've all been shut down.
Yeah, they're no longer jails as such, but now, you know, they still have a cell, you still get locked in, and you're paying up to $400 a night for that privilege.
Well, I got another great idea. Instead of using jails that are or prisons that are closed, let's use actual prisons and have your partner being a real prisoner. A real criminal.
I don't think they would like that.
They can use my house, and Jeff is the warden. That's
very funny. I feel like a prisoner in our house.
Anyway, there's some more items. I noticed there are some gadgets and gizmos coming down the pike that were really, really amazing. Now, we spoke about digital printers about a month or so ago, and now they are turning out body parts. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. Body parts on a digital printer. Okay? That blows me away.
That's a 3D printer.
A 3D printer making body parts. It's amazing. Now they have something else, too. You remember the Rubik's puzzle thing,
yeah.
That little gadget?
Rubik's Cube.
Okay. They now have a device which will scan all of the six sides, and within seconds we'll come up with the solution no matter how much you twist and turn it.
Wow, that is
okay.
You, can I just say?
Yes, you
that,
can.
Okay. I went to a happy hour at a hotel once, and they were having a convention of people who were introducing this 3D copier. And so I watched it. I was so excited. I ended up being part of their convention. But what they're doing now, they're talking about in it's either Japan or China, of doing buildings in the 3D copiers. I think they're starting with bathrooms and they're moving on, but they're talking buildings. That is so exciting,
eventually,
isn't it?
Eventually, it will cover everything, I understand.
Yeah,
yeah. There are inventions on the down the pike now that are just amazing till they actually get down to the point where they're able to be reproduced cheaply enough. It's amazing. We have batteries that will charge your telephone in seconds.
Right.
But they're not available yet.
I'm still thinking about the body parts.
which one?
I'm going to send in my request. Yes.
Well, they have now where you can harvest your body part. So in case you need a new heart or a new kidney or a new liver, you can have this stored up.
And take a piece of your liver and let it grow?
Right. I don't know.
That's cloning different little parts of your body.
Right.
Exactly.
And you sort of like farm this and you have it. So in case your liver goes, you can get your own so the body will not reject it like they do now.
Yeah, that's been a theme in movies and science fiction for years and years. But I like the other one where they actually clone you and they raise you, and then when you're ready, they dispose of that person and take out that heart and put it in your body.
Well, I'm actually looking forward
forget
to
the brain.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next world.
That's only thing yet that haven't. There's no.
Right.
They haven't figured out how to transpose a brain, transport a brain, or duplicate a brain.
Right.
Just
right.
About every body part except the brain.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
So that's coming too.
Yeah, can I just say too about
yes, you can.
The,
Go ahead.
The body parts? I know they're doing ears at this point, aren't they? And that's what they're.
Well, what I saw in the Wall Street Journal earlier in the week was ears and noses.
Oh, a nose as well.
Yeah.
Oh, terrific.
But the thing is, how do you now you have to attach it to the body? Sew it on or what? Weld it on? Malcolm, you were going to say something.
Well, I was just thinking of the last scene of Young Frankenstein. And that's all. Frankenstein.
Some steins are steins.
You're getting it confused with Bernstein.
No.
I thought it was Bernstein.
it's Frankenstein, but at the in the movie, he calls himself, he's Dr. Frankenstein.
Oh, that's in Mel Brooks' movie.
Young Frankenstein.
I thought it was Frankenstein.
But anyway, if anyone remembers the last scene of it, and I'm not going to go any further because this is a family show.
Oh, okay. Anyway, getting back to some inventions, some students were trying to figure out to come up with a device that decides or figures out how to best pick up an object. And as a byproduct of that, they came up with a machine that will throw a dart at a dartboard with 100% accuracy.
Is it a robot that throws it?
A little gizmo, a little gadget. And going one step further, you may appreciate this one, Jerry. There's a device now, and this one is really amazing. Like if you can't, you run short on jokes, you need somebody to do stand-up, there's a gadget called the Robothespian. Okay? It has all the jokes programmed within. It will tell a joke, and based on the reaction of the audience, it will do some computations and figure out, change the tempo, change the timing, get a better joke, and go on and on and on.
Oh, that's terrific.
Okay?
That's needed.
Can you imagine that?
I don't need that, actually.
Well, you don't need it.
Back to the body parts.
Can you imagine, let's say, on a cruise line or on vaudeville or whatever, you got this machine coming out, and it does the whole stand-up
routine? Well, I just thought of it. We could do a robo-rabbi.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
No, you're out of a job.
You're out of a job.
Possible.
Jerry, there's something that I think may interest you. The movie hasn't come out yet, Monuments Men, and I know you will review it.
Now, definitely.
Years ago, I remember reading about them. It was a fascinating story. Then the Monuments came, the book came out, Monuments Men. Now, and I'm sure you've seen in the papers, it's even more fascinating, more interesting about the art collections and troves and pieces and artwork that they're finding now, which is even more fascinating because all of that stuff was supposedly done by a half-Jewish art collector who was commissioned by Hitler and Goebbels to collect all this stuff because it was offensive to them. It was considered,
But the guy's a recluse, and they found over $1 billion of artwork in his apartment.
And the monuments, the original monuments people did interview the guy, and they looked at all of that stuff way back in the 40s, late 40s, that is, and they passed on it. So maybe it was collected properly. Maybe they paid, they got it at a bargain price, but apparently they did pay for the artwork.
But very bargain price.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the rightful owners will be able one day to reclaim all of the art.
Do you know when that movie will be coming out?
I think next year.
Oh, first next year.
I think so. I think that they were supposed to open in December, unless I'm thinking of another movie. And then they decided to hold it off to next year. I don't know why.
This isn't the fellow who has all the artwork that was just reported. No, this is another one.
This is before that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, this George Clooney stars in this one.
Oh, okay.
Well, there were a number of big people in there,
too.
Yeah,
Clooney is hot.
He's been hot for a while.
Right. Has he ever been cool?
Nope, he hasn't.
All right. Jerry has an emergency call. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask what it is. I think I know.
Yes.
Okay. I won't say. You can say it if you want. That's up to you.
Well, it's probably another funeral.
And another eulogy.
Yes, another eulogy.
Well, it happens.
It's a living.
It's a living.
No, it's not a living. Was that a pun?
Ooh.
That's terrible.
What? Terrible or not, all comedy comes somehow from something tragic. And it depends on how many steps it's removed.
That's true.
We'll tell you how funny it is.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, Stan, as I always say, it's only life.
Yeah, that's true. It's only life, right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to our next segment where we're going to have...
Okay. Well, let's start doing a little intro now. We have somebody on board with us, Judy Barton. And I looked at her bio, and I don't know how to introduce her. She has so many things that she could talk about. She's an author. She's an actress. She's a mommy. She's done writing, not only of this novel, okay, but she's written plays, she's written screenplays, she's written poetry, okay, and she's had poetry published, which is probably one of the most difficult things to have done, and all of these things, and I just feel just like a poor, insignificant, unaccomplished individual when somebody does and can do so many different things. What do you think, Malcolm?
I totally agree with you. It's a very impressive list of accomplishments, as well as a reporter, as well as being a very attractive woman. What more can you ask for?
Hey, that's for our women. Yay!
Okay, that's 60 seconds from the control booth. So, for the people out there, this is The View from over here. We are on crntalk.com. Any questions, any complaints, whatever, give us a call, 800-336-2225.
And we do have a website up called www.viewfromoverhere.com with all our shows archived, plus written reviews by Rabbi Jerry Cutler. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Well, Welcome back to The View from Over Here. My name is Stan Weisleder, and I'm here in the studio with the three J's, Jeff and Jerry and Judy Barton, our guest, and Malcolm in the middle, of course.
Right.
Always in the middle.
I'm the exception.
What an exception. So, our guest today, Judy Barton, all around, wow, a lot of things she does. And so, Judy, how are you?
I'm fine. It's a pleasure to be here with all of you. And after the last segment, I was thinking we may be the five last human people in the universe after all this talk about enhanced body parts and ears and noses.
Well I have to make a confession. Well, maybe I won't.
Why not? You won't? Okay, don't.
Now, Paul is urging me not to.
Judy, let me ask you. You've written a book called The Angel Connection. Okay. First of all, where can we get it? How much does it cost? And then maybe you can tell us a little bit what it's about.
I can tell you that you can get The Angel Connection by Judith Ann Barton. That's my authorly name for this book, on Amazon.com and at Barnes & Noble online. And also at right now, two bookstores on the East Coast, the Book Garden, and the Carversville General Store in Carversville, Pennsylvania.
Is Angel that near where the story takes place?
Yes, it's okay. Exactly where the story takes place. That place is Bucks County, Pennsylvania, which, in my opinion, is one of the most beautiful places in the world. For anyone who's not familiar with it, it's an area that's halfway between Philadelphia and New York.
Is it Amish?
No, it is not Amish. It's been a magnet for artists and writers, musicians and actors and poets for a few hundred years.
And also wonderful theater.
Exactly. The Bucks County Playhouse was famous for a long time. And I can tell you it's actually back in business now and doing a very good business after being sort of closed down for years.
Well, wasn't that founded by Jean Stapleton and her husband? I think so, Bucks County.
No, you know what? That's another theater in New Jersey. It's not that was not the Bucks County Playhouse. I'm fairly certain, but you know what?
So was I.
Okay. Well, you know, you may be right. That's something I don't know.
If anyone knows the answer, call us at 800-336-2225.
People like Moss Hart and Oscar Hammerstein and Dorothy Parker and many New York writers and intellectuals and actors came to Bucks County. They found their muse there. And so did I.
Don't you have some famous painters there?
The Pennsylvania Impressionist movement began there, which relates to my book, because my book incorporates the Pennsylvania Impressionist movement. They began in the area of New Hope, Pennsylvania, which may be familiar to some listeners. And the movement spread throughout Pennsylvania and, of course, you know, throughout the United States. But my particular area of interest in Bucks County has to do with the Pennsylvania Impressionist painters, the natural beauty of these villages along the Delaware River, and the inspiration that I certainly found there for this story.
So what is the story about?
So the story is actually two love stories that take place 100 years apart, and there's a mysterious link between these love stories. We have a 1996 story about a television journalist whose life is pretty much trashed, and she moves to this little village into a house called the Rectory. And she impulsively buys this house, and after she moves in, she feels a little nervous because some paranormal stuff goes on, and she thinks maybe it's haunted. In the meantime, she meets a very cute neighbor, and they decide to collaborate on a documentary about local history, in particular, the local Impressionist painters of the area from the turn of the 18th century into the 19th century. And while they're starting to research the documentary, she finds spooky parallels between her life and her situation and her subject. In the meantime, 100 years earlier, we have another story of a young minister's wife and mother to a toddler who's living in the rectory, which is the same house where our journalist lives. And she's a repressed painter. She wins permission from her hellfire and brimstone and kind of disapproving husband to take art lessons from a local Impressionist painter named Daniel Duval. A love affair follows, and it ends in tragedy. So we have these two stories, which as they move along, they converge into a karmic explosion.
Okay, hold that thought.
We have a break coming up, but don't give away too much of the story. You want people to buy it. If you tell them the whole story now, they'll say, oh, I know the story. Okay, I don't have to buy it.
No, actually,
okay,
I want
to. There's more.
Actually, I want to find the story about Judith Ann Barton, because you have a fascinating background aside from being an author. And stay tuned, because we'll be right back from The View from over here on crntalk.com. Call us at 800-336-2225, especially if you know the origins of the Bucks County Playhouse.
I know what it is.
Hi there, Stan Weisleder. I'm back here on The View from Over Here. And if you're listening, you're listening to crntalk.com. And we're here in the studio, Malcolm in the middle, of course, Jerry and Jeff Cutler, and our guest today, Judy Ann Barton.
Is it Judy Ann or Judith?
Well, it's Judith Ann for the book, but Judy Ann reminds me of my mother used to call me Judy Ann.
Can I interject here that I looked up the Bucks County Playhouse and I got the true story on it, and it is ready for demolition in the 1930s and purchased and run by a group including playwrights Moss Hart and Kenyon Nicholson, which goes to prove to you, Judy, never trust Jerry.
Well, excuse me,
rabbi.
They
doesn't get the last.
They left out her name. Gene Stapleton, that's all.
No, but the question is, what was it before it was renovated?
Oh, it was
barn.
They made it a grist mill.
Yes,
in
a grist mill. That's right, yes. And it still has the appearance of a grist mill. A beautiful part of Pennsylvania, and I consider myself a Pennsylvania writer. And my next book is called "How the Property Lies." It also takes place in this area.
Oh.
It's my muse. I love it.
Right. Well, you said you had about 300 pages already done?
I got more than 300 pages now on How the Property Lies. Yeah, it's a murder mystery, whodunit.
Oh, terrific. Do you get back there much to Bucks County?
I was there 2 weeks ago for a book tour.
Oh.
And I did some TV interviews at CBS and NBC and some print things and visited my friends and went back to the village where the book was written and where I lived.
I want to get a promise from you when the book is published that you will introduce it on our show.
Well, it would be a pleasure. Thank you.
Judy, I have a question for you. Reading your bio, it says here that you were a singing waitress. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that came to be?
Oh, yes. Well, okay. I was a singing waitress. I had two children, and after my divorce, I was had the responsibility of supporting these two kids, and I had been doing dinner theater, musical dinner theater, at the Downingtown Inn Dinner Theater, which was once owned by Mickey Rooney. At any rate, I took a job as a singing waitress at a place called The Sting, and it was balancing a tray and balancing a song cue. It was hearing the theme music, which was the music from The Sting, and then putting down the tray or serving the people or serving the drinks or whatever and getting up on stage and belting out a song. And I have to say that I loved it. I loved to sing.
Can you do a song for us today?
What would you like to hear, Stan?
We don't have any music, and we don't want you to do it a cappella.
We don't have any music anymore.
Hey, I have a real good question for you. Your book talks about, or your book discusses, some paranormal incidents with poltergeist, ghost, or whatever. Has anything like that ever happened to you personally?
Yes, it has. And in fact, there's a scene in the book that I based on something that actually happened to me and to my family in another old house that I lived in back in the 70s, a schoolhouse, renovated schoolhouse back in Pennsylvania. The scene is that a carpet rises off the floor in ripples and continues to ripple for a period of, let's say, 30 to 45 seconds, maybe even a minute. When I was living in this schoolhouse in Chester Springs, Pennsylvania, we had heard that there was a ghost in the house. My children were little. My children were like, you know, 5 and 9, and we'd heard that there was a ghost. But unfortunately, I heard there was a ghost after I rented the house, and I couldn't get out of it. And we had some experiences that were very frightening for me and frightening for the kids. So one day, I had a group of people over for brunch, and I was talking about the fact that someone said that there's a ghost in the house. And my sister-in-law, who is Italian from Milan, said at the time, well, don't call him, he come. And another friend of mine was saying, here, ghosty, here, ghosty. The next thing we knew, the carpet in the living room started to rise off the floor, and it went across the floor in ripples as we stood there. We were seeing it with our own eyes, but we actually could not believe what was happening. And I do have to say that several years later, I encountered somebody who had also lived in that little house, and we started to talk about it, and she had had the exact same experience when she lived there.
Well, my question is, should you be frightened of ghosts, or should you welcome them? Are they bad ghosts, good ghosts, or...
I don't know how I feel about that to this day. I think I would prefer that they keep their distance, a far distance from me.
Uh-huh. Well, as long as you're not the ghost. Or they don't take you where they are.
Hopefully not too soon, yeah.
Have neither of you had ghost stories? Anything that happened to you?
No, the closest I've come, I've had an out-of-body experience, but not a ghost story. But that was me alone when I was meditating one day. Out in Fire Island, and my something arose from me. I mean, it's like my soul or spirit rose, and I could look down and see my body.
How many drinks did you have?
No drinks.
That?
No drinks, no drugs. And I got frightened, and I just went right back, and it's the only experience I've ever had like that.
Wow. My daughters and I experienced a ghost. But which we'll go into another time because it's Judy. Okay, all right. I have to say, Jerry made me look up Jean Stapleton, and she did own it.
No, she didn't
start it, but she owned it at some point.
Okay, can you look up Jean Stapleton and see what her other theater was?
No, we're looking at it.
This is Buck's Theater,
and that's it.
Yep.
And there wasn't another theater in New Jersey.
Okay, I'll look that up.
Gosh, the most
you know, I'm exonerated.
I'm sorry, Jerry.
But while you people were looking up what actor played in what playhouse, I've been looking up, and you have tons of artists in that area. A lot of artwork and a lot of artists and a lot of stuff.
You know, Grace Kelly got her start at the Bucks County Playhouse.
Her name also came up in the
Okay, guys, it's the end of the segment,
again?
And we have to say goodbye to Judith.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
But stick around because you can listen to Jerry and Jeff's commentary. What movies are you doing?
Sunlight Junior and Philomena.
Okay.
And can we just say that the name of the book is The Angel Connection by
Judith Ann Barton. And where can we purchase
Amazon. It? Amazon.com. And my blogspot website, judithannbarton.blogspot.com, and J.A. Barton Books at Twitter and Facebook and all that good stuff.
And we could have all that information on our website at viewfromoverhere.com.
Thank you so much.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi there, Stan Weisleder. I'm back at the View from Over Here. Jerry and Jeff Cutler are going to talk to us about the most amazing movies that they've ever seen in their life, but maybe not that amazing, but they're going to talk about movies today. Jerry, Jeff, what do you have for us today?
Well, the first one we're going to talk about is called Sunlight Junior, and Jerry will give you the background on that. And the second one is Philomena.
Okay. Sunlight Junior. That's the name of a store, general store, somewhere
like a 7-Eleven
in Florida.
on a strip mall. I hate strip malls.
Let's get to the movie. Forget about strip malls.
What they've done here to California with these Don strip malls. Well, anyway, this is a very downtrodden strip mall. And
do you want to tell us what area of Florida? It's a big state.
Yeah, it's near Tampa.
Okay.
And the two stars. I got to first start with the two stars. They're Naomi Watts and Matt Dillon. The two of them are, I guess they would be called a trailer trash, which is a very demeaning word, but it sort of describes a lot of people in that area. And purposely,
come on, it fits 10% of the country.
Let's get the review. Go.
Well, yes, it does, and that's the whole story. They cannot make ends meet. The two of them. She works with this lascivious manager, who's always on the downgrading her constantly. She has a I don't know what she gets an hour, but it's not much. And Matt Dillon is a cripple who goes to welfare to pick up his checks, and that's their income. There are drugs involved, drinking involved. Sadly, if you're depressed, don't go to that movie. Please. If you're feeling up and chipper, yes, go to it, because it's a learning experience.
So it puts you in touch with reality.
Oh, boy, does it ever. Yes, in a very stark reality.
It's a movie that has no hope, no ending, and it's about people. I have a hard time watching it for an hour and 45 minutes because don't we all spend our lives working hard so you aren't in that situation? And to spend the time watching them and just saying, why am I watching this?
Well, it sounds like a very gritty movie.
It's very gritty.
Like movies like that. Well, but does it have a good ending?
No. Don't look for the happy ending.
Don't look for an ending.
We were watching the screener, and Jeff and our daughter Chelsea, and I said, there doesn't seem to be any hope. And my daughter said, there doesn't seem to be an ending. And it's only 90 minutes.
How many bagels?
Actually, three, because I
three out of
three?
Yes. Well, Jeff doesn't think so. I'll tell you why three. She's absolutely wonderful in it. The two of them are, Naomi Watts and Dillon, Matt Dillon. And their portrayal of a down-and-out couple is so realistic. I mean, it's so true to what you envision these people have to go through. And at one point, she becomes pregnant.
Yes, sir. Three out of four
and
bagels.
Three out of four, yes. But once I caution, if you're depressed, don't go, because then you'll find the nearest bridge and jump off.
And I've got to say, it was a very good work by Matt Dillon. I think he's really finding his own of late. And
okay,
but I think Naomi, she's a bit boring for me as an actress. So I just didn't like the subject.
Okay, guys, two out of four.
Yeah.
Let's go back to
wait. One other thing I constantly gripe about: gratuitous sex. There was no need for this very graphic sex scene.
Well, graphic, yes. Was it gratuitous?
Guys, let's go to the next film quickly.
What is the next film? Philomena. Philomena is a brilliant film right off the bat.
I agree.
Judi Dench is outstanding. Outstanding. She plays a woman who is, as a young child, she becomes pregnant, a single woman, and it's the Catholic Church. It's a true story, incidentally. The Catholic Church then used her really as a slave to go in and wash clothing. She's indentured.
Judy Dentured, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's very funny.
And the young women who are indentured get to see their child 1 hour a day. And then the nuns put up the children for adoption. Or they sell them, actually, for they got $1,000 per child.
And rich
to Americans.
Well, not only to Americans, but Americans are the ones who come, including apparently Jane Russell,
who also paid whatever it was to have a child.
Literally, if Jane it. Russell did, she did get a child from this organization?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Yeah. This took place in England?
It's in England.
Ireland.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ireland.
Okay, guys, we're going to have 60 seconds. How many bagels?
I want to talk more about this.
Okay, you want to talk more?
Okay, I give it 4 out of 4.
4 out of 4.
Wow.
Yes. And Steve Coogan was terrific.
He wrote, produced, and stars in it with her. They're both excellent. Please go see it.
You guys have seen these uplifting movies this week. Who are you going to see next week? Any comedies, musicals?
Yes. I have no idea what they are.
Anyway, stay tuned.
Oh, Delivery Man.
Do you ever review cartoons?
Stan, yeah? We'll be right back.
Put some boots.
Yay! Stan, wake up. Intro.
Now?
Now. We're on the air.
And as I was saying, so...
Quick, Jerry.
Philomena.
Jerry. Jeff. Let's finish up those movie reviews.
When these people went back, when the women went back to find out about their babies, asking for help, they were told that the documents had been lost in the fire, which was a lie. The book is called The Lost Child of Philomena Lee, if you want to get it. But I take great umbrage with the Catholic Church, also with the Hasidic or ultra-Orthodox. Anything that's ultra in religion is bad. It's something that we should not only shy away from, we should condemn in most times.
Is the movie open this weekend?
Yes, it does.
Friday. My mother was excommunicated from the Catholic Church because she confessed to using birth control because she was told that if she had another child that she would die.
Oh, my.
And she never got over it.
No.
Did she have another child?
Me.
You. Yeah, see? That's the glory, yeah, of objecting or not following.
Burn in hell.
What?
I'm sure they did.
Well, that was a story that you were telling about abortion. Who was that?
Jack Nicholson.
Right.
Yes. Oh, shall we
talk quickly
about that? I'm reading the biography on Jack Nicholson that just came out. And, excuse me, many people know that Jack Nicholson found out when he was in his 30s that his mother was not his real mother, that his sister had been his mother. And he was raised by his grandmother. And this information obviously really shook him up. He was very upset about it, and he also did not want it to go public.
And that happened with another celebrity.
Bobby Darin.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so for Jack Nicholson, this made him become pro-choice because he saw himself as someone who would not have been born.
But he wouldn't have known.
Aborted. Why you smile, well, Stan? That's the logical mind.
Well, it happened. They went to my mother, who looked very young. She said, "Are you his sister?" I don't even want to be his mother.
That's a different take on it. But Jerry, Jeff, the movie that you reviewed, that reminds me of a documentary that I saw not too long ago about these kids that they took from Great Britain.
The Magdalene Sisters, and that was a documentary. That was true, and the book, the picture is very true to the book, incidentally.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so, thanks for bringing that up.
Well, what I want to know is if the Catholic Church is so, you know, anti-abortion, why aren't they supporting all the kids, you know, in these third world countries that they're promoting that the parents shouldn't use any birth control, whether, you know, whatever country it is where there's so much poverty.
Why aren't other countries helping out other countries who are starving or being shot and killed? And there is no justice. Whoever came up with that word, there's got to be another word for justice.
Well, the best way to have birth control in those third world countries is to provide all of those families with a free color TV set.
Okay, I understand we're reaching the end of the show.
And a satellite dish.
You're listening.
And Stan is reaching.
All right, this is Stan Weiss, leader. Let's cut out the joking. It's supposed to be serious.
It's
Everybody's
30 seconds
around.
Quick.
Okay. All right, we have today with us Judy and Barton, Jerry and Jeff Cutler, Malcolm in the middle, as always. This is The View from Over Here. I'm Stan Weiss, leader. It's on crntalk.com. What did I leave out?
Website.
No, what the phone number?
www.viewfromoverhere.com.
Also, call us, 800-336-2225.
See you next week.
Okay, we just got the wrap-up.
Okay, and we're reviewing Delivery Man.
The View from Over Here is a co-production of Infinity X and TBG International. For further information, contact Malcolm Berman at 818-687-2784. That's 818-687-2784.